This is Jen.
This is Kelsey.
And you're listening to the First 50 Pages. When people think of libraries, the first thing most people think of is books.
But did you know that the Sioux City Public Library has over 7,500 DVDs available to check out?
And our collection continues to grow every week.
Drama, action, suspense, mysteries, romance, comedy, science fiction, fantasy, horror, foreign films, musicals, documentaries, manga, family movies, and TV series.
And nearly 10% of the total physical materials that circulate in the library come from DVD checkouts.
So many movies, where do we even begin? We've invited Sarah Lease, the operations manager for the Sioux City Public Library, and our very own viewers advisory expert to help sort through all the options and to share some of her favorites with us today.
Welcome, Sarah.
Welcome, hello. Sarah. Thanks for having me.
So to get to know our viewing style a little bit, we're going to play a game. And you've all heard of it, Two Truths and a Lie. So Kelsey, you want to go first?
Sure. So, are you ready for my two truths and a lie? I've watched Dirty Dancing so many times that I know all of the words to every song and even some of the dance moves from my favorite scenes. I've watched every season of The Crown, and I refuse to watch Sharp Objects because I feel like it won't live up to the book at all for me.
Oh. I'm
trying to confuse you right off the bat.
Well, I bet that Dirty Dancing is a truth.
I'm thinking that The Crown is not true.
Do we know you, Kelsey?
You do.
Yay!
I'm trying to stump you. It's just not working.
That was pretty good, Kelsey.
Okay, so for my two truths and a lie, I always read the book before I see the movie. I've seen every episode of Dexter, and I refuse to watch the last episode of Downton Abbey because I don't want it to be over.
Hmm. What do you think, Sarah?
I think that Downton Abbey's true.
Yeah, I think so too.
It is true.
I think the Dexter one might be true too. She really likes Michael C. Hall.
Yeah.
I do have a little thing for him. That is true.
So it has, by process so, yes. of elimination.
Yes, I do not always read the book before I see the movie. I know the shame.
We'll dive into Jen's shame later.
So welcome, Sarah. We'd like to get to know you and your viewing habits a little bit. So tell us, two truths and a lie.
All right. I have yet to watch a book-based movie that I liked better than the book. I prefer scripted dramas to reality TV shows. And Princess Bride is one of my favorite movies.
I'm sure that Princess Bride is one of your favorite movies, Sarah. I'm sure it is. It's everyone's favorite movie, right? That has to be a truth.
No. No, it is not. It is not true at all. I watched it in high school, and I didn't understand why people love it.
Well, I could tell you why I love it, but sure. That's right. You know, we're all different.
We all have a whole episode dedicated to the Princess Bride, so we won't go into it.
So that must mean, then, that your truths are...
Yeah, I have yet to watch a book-based movie that I liked better than the book. I do better if I watch a movie and then read the book, because then I can go with the characters as they've created them. And
sure.
I can use that in my mind. But if I've already developed the scene in my head and then watched the movie, I'm often disappointed.
Yeah,
yeah, it just
good
doesn't
point.
Like live up to it.
You no.
know, kind of what you've created as the setting or who you envision the character to
yes.
look like. Or
the one exception I can say is Harry Potter, though.
Okay.
I thought they did a really good job. That's kind of exactly how I pictured the characters to be as I read it. So, yeah. And it might have been because J.K. Rowling was so involved in the movies. That
probably
helped
a lot. I think that can usually help, you know, how involved the writer is in, like, doing the screenplay or even the sets and the characters and casting and all that, for sure. I will agree with you about the scripted drama stuff.
Yeah.
I like to, you know, occasionally binge a good reality TV show, but the scripted stuff is what...
Yeah. Well, I feel like when reality TV was first on the scene or whatever, that it was more authentic, or at least it seemed more authentic. And so, you know, initially I was like, oh, reality TV is so, you know, the way to go. And then, you know.
Or we believed it.
Yeah, we believed it to be authentic. And then once, you know.
And then we figured it out.
And then it was like, well, if I'm going to watch scripted TV, I'd rather it be well written and well acted. So I guess that's where I'm at now with TV.
I find that people are often surprised that the library has DVDs available to borrow. And I think they're really surprised to find the latest releases and the most popular titles on our shelves. And on our last episode, we shared our love for the freedom to read statement, but there's also a freedom to view statement, which asserts that in a free society, there is no place for censorship of any medium of expression. And the first kind of statement, the first principle of the freedom to view statement says to provide the broadest access to film, video, and other audiovisual materials because they are a means for the communication of ideas. Movies and TV shows offer enrichment, learning, and the communication of ideas, so it really only makes sense that libraries offer a wide assortment of DVDs for lending.
Yeah, I think libraries are all about storytelling and, you know, whatever medium that is, that's what we're about.
And we've kind of tried to evolve, like, as people's interests and needs have changed, that we realize that not everybody wants to learn or, like, be enriched in a way where they have to read it on paper, that maybe they want to listen to it, or in the case of TVs and movies, actually watch it and kind of, like, feel it that way.
Exactly.
I would say one of my favorite things that we get to do working in the library is, you know, that we get to connect people to books and to movies and TV shows. So if you go to the library and ask one of us to recommend a movie or a TV series, it's kind of game on, really, like, our time to shine. You know, that's where we really love connecting with our patrons that come into the library. And just like, you know, it's impossible to have read every single book, it's impossible to have watched every single movie or show. Luckily, the same kind of appeal characteristics that we apply to books also apply to movies and TV.
So some of those appeal factors are character, plot, setting. The setting can be really important in film. It can create a specific mood of what you're watching. I think that's really true for me. Like, I'm really drawn to TV shows or films that have really great settings. But then the genre, there are so many genres. Kelsey kind of mentioned this at the beginning, you know, action, adventure, comedy, mystery, drama, suspense. You know, you might love drama and you might hate action adventure. So then the time frame, the pacing of the film or the movie, the relationships that develop, the authenticity, like Sarah had mentioned. And then for some people, sexuality and violence are deal breakers. They don't want to see that in film. So those appeal factors are important to what we choose to spend our time and invest our energy in watching.
And they're kind of those little pieces that when we're helping patrons kind of figure out what they want to watch next, that we can kind of ask them, you know, what did you like about this? Did you like the setting? You know, what type of plot do you like? It helps us navigate, you know, the vast amounts of DVDs that we have at the library to kind of hopefully find that next great movie or TV show for them.
And a great trick that a lot of librarians use is if you don't know what kind of book you want to read, they will ask you what kind of movies or TV shows you'd like to watch. So there's definitely a tie-in to those appeal elements.
And even speaking of setting, like, I think Downton Abbey is one TV show where the setting just draws you in so much. And it's a huge part of what, you know, I like about it.
Yeah. We know Jen has a love affair.
I do love Downton Abbey. And I do really think it is the setting. It is the costume. It is the, I don't want to say castle, but, you know,
the manor.
The manor.
Is it manor? Yes.
That sounds right.
The whole, you know.
I'm gonna go with it.
Yeah. And just really transporting you to that time period. Yeah, it's just such a huge part of the story. And you talk to so many people who just really fall in love with those elements of the setting.
Yeah.
So Sarah, what are some of your favorites and why?
I'd say recently Chernobyl on HBO. I just thought it was amazing. In high school, you know, I remember learning about Chernobyl, but, you know, I had no idea just the impact it had, how close we came to a worldwide catastrophe. I just learned so much from watching that show. I almost feel like it should be required viewing for high school students because it teaches it in a way that a textbook just didn't get it across for me.
I like the idea of required viewing, you know, required reading in high school.
Yeah.
So I watched the first episode of Chernobyl. And just like I'll read like the first 50 pages of a book and maybe come back to it, I really want to go back and watch the rest of it. Was it a mini series?
Yeah.
I want to go back and watch it now because I watched the first episode and it was pretty heavy.
Yes, very.
But it was interesting.
And I even watched it twice because, like, the first time I watched it, I think I was just all caught up in the emotions of it. And then the second time I watched it, I was able to focus more on the facts or, you know, the other parts of the story. So, yeah, I think it's, you know, even worth watching twice if you have time.
And again, I think there's always a tie-in. When Chernobyl first was out on HBO, We had a lot of people coming into the library wanting more information. Like, they wanted books about Chernobyl. Mm-hmm. So they had watched the TV series, and then they wanted to know more.
Yes.
So you definitely saw an increase in interest in that subject because of the TV series.
Well, I find, too, that when I watch shows that are based on fact, I Google things all the time. You know, I'm constantly, you know, having to maybe even pause it just to see, like, is that true? Or, you know, how much of this is based on fact? Now, with having the internet so handy, you actually get more out of what you watch.
You mean you find sometimes that things aren't true?
Yes.
You have to verify?
Yes. And also, like, it's surprising sometimes what is true. You know, sure. Sometimes I'm watching stuff and I'm like, there's no way that actually happened. And then it's like, wow, that really did happen. So, yes, it works both ways, I guess.
You're a librarian, aren't you?
I do like research quite a bit.
But I think not just librarians do that, but you do get into what is happening and you want to know more of the facts. You want to know more of the story. Kelsey, what about you? What are some of your favorite things that you've watched for enrichment and communication of ideas?
For me, I think I really get stuck into having some sort of binge session of conflicted or, you know, complex, like, heroes or heroines. So I've seen all of Justified multiple times. I've watched Longmire multiple times. But I really like those characters where, you know, they're kind of set up as the hero, but then there's all these different parts of their nature as people or just different circumstances that they run into in the TV show that really kind of remind you that they're humans as well. Like, you know, we all make mistakes, or maybe, you know, we make decisions that we're like, maybe that wasn't the best choice to make. So I really kind of like that whole level of being conflicted or complex characters.
And both of those are book-based.
Yeah.
So Justified is based on Elmore Leonard's series with
Raylan Givens.
Raylan Givens, yeah.
I do like a good name for a character, too. So Raylan Givens, Walt Longmire.
And Timothy Oliphant?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I have to say, he doesn't hurt either.
He was a great lead character, let's just say.
He really was. I actually
watched Justified because Kelsey had been talking about how much she liked it. And I have to say, it was really, really a fun series to watch.
I think I badgered you enough.
No, it was good. It was great. So yes, definitely recommend Justified.
Yeah, and I did too, actually. I watched Justified from Kelsey, you know, raving about it. And it lived up to it for me.
Good.
It was a good recommendation.
Glad it panned out.
Yeah. Yes.
And the Longmire series is based on...
It's based on Craig Johnson's series of books, like the Walt Longmire mystery series. So the first one's The Cold Dish, and then I think he's up to like book 14 or 15 now. And they're always, you know, hot commodities on the shelf of the library. We can't keep them on the shelf. So I know people are out there reading them.
Yes. Or if they've watched the series, they can come and get the books.
Exactly. And you will find that the books, there's so much more, and a lot of the characters are different, or they follow different paths than what they do in the TV series. So it kind of creates for a different dynamic that way.
Yeah, and I would say, too, that, like, even, like, with movies, I find that, like, I love the book Warm Bodies, but then I also enjoyed the movie version of it. But with the movie, you know, I wish people would still read the book, because the book just offers, you know, so many more little stories within the story, and, you know, there's lots of humor, and just things that a movie can't capture in that amount of time. So, yeah, I just think that a lot of times it's a richer experience if you read the book versus just watch the movie.
Yeah.
Or, like, I read the first 50 pages, I think, of Warm Bodies, and I couldn't continue. I probably found something else to read. I didn't finish it, but...
Jen, what?
Now that I have to put it back on my list, and I have to put the movie back on my list and compare. I want to know now. But you didn't like Princess Bride, so I don't know. Maybe I can't trust you.
But that was in high school. I don't know. Maybe if I watched it again... I could appreciate it in a different way.
Yeah, maybe we can convince her to watch it again.
I don't know. Okay. There's only so much time in life, and I don't know if
you're not supposed to badger your guests on a podcast. I'm sorry, Sarah.
Be like, oh, that's podcast etiquette.
I know there are people out there that also did not like The Princess Bride.
How about you, Jen? What appeal factors draw you in?
I love dark and twisted characters, and I love comedy. I don't know. I think I have to have like some kind of an emotional reaction to something that I am watching. So yeah, Dexter was probably the first TV series that I was just wrapped up in the character development. Like, is he a good guy? Is he a bad guy? You know, how does his character evolve over the course of time? And I think what really just cemented it in my mind as like my favorite series was just the other characters that they also brought in. Like season 4, John Lithgow is brought in as the villain. And it's, you know, because Dexter is essentially a serial killer, but he has a code that he goes by. And so by day, he's a normal person working for the Miami Police Department. But by night, he's chasing down really bad guys. Those are his victims. But just the evolution of his character with his family. I don't want to do too many spoilers, but with the people that he works with and how things get complicated for him. If you only watch one season of Dexter, watch season 4. John Lithgow is amazing. And that last episode of that season will just leave you breathless. If you haven't watched.
That is kind of, I think, where I stopped watching Dexter because I think it went off Netflix then, or, you know, I stopped checking out the DVDs at that point. Yes. And I don't know, maybe I gotta go back.
But the library does have every season of Dexter available to check out. So speaking of episodes, is there, you know, an episode that stands out for you in a TV series that you've watched that's just, you know, what hooked you, what grabbed you?
Well, for me, and I think I, you know, from what I read online, a lot of people felt this way, but with Game of Thrones, the Red Wedding episode, it gave me nightmares. Like, I don't know, I was like so emotionally involved in that show and the Stark family that, yeah, I literally had nightmares about like my own family reunion and things going wrong. So yeah, that was definitely an impactful scene for me.
And we know that not everyone has seen Game of Thrones. There are people who just on principle are not going to watch it because everyone has watched it and it can't live up to the hype. And then there are forensic fans of Game of Thrones. So Kelsey's laughing because she falls into one of those camps and it's not a forensic fan.
Way to just shame me, Jen. We can't shame our guests. Didn't know we were going to shame each other, but I do plan to watch it. I just didn't get into it when it was on TV, but now I can check it out at the library and watch it on my own terms.
I will tell you, I was a holdout for a long time. Like, I was like, it's not going to be something that I'm going to be, you know, into or interested in. But I think it's kind of one of those things, like, it does suck you in.
Yeah, for me, it's one of the, you know, I think it's hard for shows to suck you in the very first episode. And for me, it did. I mean, I was hooked.
I was surprised because I was not expecting it to be what it was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to have such great, you know, storytelling.
And world building, too.
World building and characters. Yes. And so.
I read the first book.
Well, and, you know, that is, I think a lot of people that have watched Game of Thrones haven't read the books.
And I tried reading the first book, and for me, the struggle was keeping track of all the characters was so hard. And so for me,
to start, like, writing it down.
Yes. Yeah. And so, yeah, I just find in those kinds of stories, for me, it's easier to watch it because I'm a more of a visual person in that regard for remembering people. So, yeah, I couldn't make it through the books.
But I think that just like, you know, we see trends in books that everybody wants to read a book or a series. I think the same thing happens. You know, we definitely have a cultural phenomenon with TV series, especially like Game of Thrones. I mean, even if you've never watched it, you know something about it.
Right, yes.
Because, you know, it's just kind of everywhere.
Well, now it's like, what's going to be the next Game of Thrones?
Yeah, what
you know?
Can be next?
Yeah.
I feel like all these TV shows are clamoring to be like, what do we have to do to like get that?
Yes.
You know? And I read an interesting article, and I can't cite my source, I'm just remembering it, but it was about The Sopranos and how they were kind of the launching series for this scripted drama, that the success of The Sopranos paved the way for Breaking Bad, which is another one of my all-time favorite.
Absolutely.
Yeah, dark. Is the character good? Is the character bad? Do I love him? Do I hate him?
Well, I almost felt like every episode was like a little movie. Like, yeah. It was so good. Yes.
And I think the way that they filmed that, there were very dark scenes at certain times, and then there were very light scenes. The way they use light, you know, how they can manipulate that in film and movies is really, you know, just something that's a very cool element, that it does set the tone. It creates, you know, something that you don't get in a book necessarily.
Well, and that Breaking Bad for me was one of the most perfect endings of a series ever. Just perfection. And I cannot say the same for Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
And I don't think you're alone.
No, I know. I know
even
I'm
know
not.
What happened, but you know, seeing all of the like blowback from
I'm still hoping somehow that they'll just redo the final season. And I know that's just crazy, but that is somehow what I'm holding out for.
I think it's because when you do have such a huge cultural phenomenon, it's hard to please everyone, but I think a lot of people were.
Yes.
But you do still run into those ebbs and flows of people's interest, or, you know, like, I loved this season or I hated this season. Even on shows that are on TV right now, like, you hear a lot of that with This Is Us that we have at the library. Yeah. You know, that people are really like, I loved season one, but, like, I didn't love season two, or there weren't as many, like, emotional, engaging episodes for them. So it's kind of nice to be able to have those conversations about different TV shows that are still on. I know for me, Yellowstone was one of those that I got to watch the first little bit when it was on TV, and now I'm like waiting, like chomping at the bit at the library to get my hands on it so I can finish season one. And I think we hopefully we'll get season two soon.
I'm sure we will.
One, in fact, with Yellowstone, I had heard a lot about that, and I just subscribed to Netflix and Prime, and I didn't want to have to pay to watch Yellowstone, and so then I checked the library, and we have it. That's where I got to watch it and enjoy it, and I recommend it. And so, yeah, I mean, the library can be really great, too, for giving you opportunity to see things that you would otherwise have to pay for.
Or if you're like me and you're a holdout, you know, like, I didn't start watching Game of Thrones, I think it was in like the fifth season was going to air, and I hadn't seen it. And so same thing with Downton Abbey. I didn't start watching Downton Abbey until, you know, it had already been on for a while. I'm sometimes late to the party, but those were available at the library. So I was able to catch up and watch them and make my own opinions about how I felt about those TV series.
Well, and Netflix has made me prefer to watch shows that you can just watch all at once. Like, you can just binge them when you want to, rather than having to wait, you know, Sunday night the episode will air. I just much prefer to wait till they've all aired and then watch them when I want.
I think that is a big cultural shift since Netflix kind of came onto the scene, that we can just binge them. Although I did read that they are going to start doing things differently.
Oh.
That they're going to start releasing. So, you know, maybe binging is going to change a little bit. They're not going to allow us to binge a whole season in a weekend.
Oh, wonder what's behind that.
We'll still come to your rescue with the DVDs.
That's
come
right.
Come to the library, get the DVDs, and you can binge your little heart away. So there was recently a Library Journal article at the beginning of this year about trends. Films and TV shows based on books are nothing new, but there was a remarkable surge in adaptations and critical and popular attention to them last year. Hollywood power players continued to search actively for books to option. And I think we see that a lot with things like Annihilation, Black Klansman, Sharp Objects, To All the Boys I've Loved Before, several more to come, The Goldfinch, Good Omens, The Rosie Project, The Woman in the Window, Where'd You Go, Bernadette. So all of these are popular books that are either released as movies or in production as movies. And that's nothing new, the book-to-movie connection. But I think, you know, the argument is, which is better?
Such a loaded question.
Yeah. What do you do? Do you read the book first, or do you read the book after? Or do you even read the book?
I don't know if there's a correct option. I think it's whatever works best for you. I know for me, I have like, I don't know if it's I've just conditioned myself to approach it this way, but I have to read the book first. I don't know if it's my compulsion that I have to be able to compare it, or my obsessive need to be like, okay, I want to like be able to like nitpick it, you know, kind of compare, you know, is that how I thought the character was going to be, or I don't agree with that setting, or, but I do try to be better about trying to, if I know I, you know, if I like the movie and I like the book, I try to appreciate them separately, if at all possible, because usually for me, I mean, I've kind of been like Sarah, where I have never had a movie or TV show outside of Harry Potter really be as good as I wanted it to be. Yeah. I don't know if that made any sense.
Yeah, it
does.
That's
what I got.
And for me, it's a mix too, because I mean, there's times where maybe a book didn't interest me at first, and then I saw the movie, and then I went back and read the book because I liked the movie and I knew I could get more from the book. So it kind of like expands the story. So I've done that before too. So I don't know. But yeah, I have a hard time though if I read the book first and then see the movie. It's rare that I'm going to like the movie as much.
Yeah, I think I'm kind of in between both of you guys. I think if I've already read the book, then I might go see the movie and then kind of base my judgment on that. But I feel like if I've seen the movie, I don't often go back and read the book. Like I might want to read something else about it. I don't know if it's because I've already had this image in my mind of what the characters are, and then I'll just be mad when I'm reading the book that it's not the same.
Yes.
Or opposite, you know, sometimes it's flipped, it's opposite, but I don't have to read the book. I usually will pick one or the other, and I think it's just because I know I'm going to be disappointed in one or the other. It's not going to live up to what I want, and there are so many that I'm like, oh, I already read that book, or oh, I already saw that movie, I don't need to.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Unless I don't know. So if I really love the book, so I think Reese Witherspoon, they're going to do Little Fires Everywhere.
Okay,
I think,
yeah.
I heard that. And I really love that book. But I like Reese Witherspoon and what she's doing with her adaptations.
Yeah, she's bought the rights to a lot of different books.
Yeah, so I don't know. I think I'd really want to see that, and I hope I won't be disappointed. So I don't know. I agree. I don't think there is a correct.
Yeah, I don't think it's a question that really has a right answer.
Yeah. But I think a lot of people, you know, they'll know if it was book-based. Or people will think that a movie like The Green Book won the Oscar, and they thought it was a book. And a lot of people came to the library asking for The Green Book. And it was based on a book that existed,
right.
You know, but it wasn't, the story didn't come from a book first. It was an original screenplay, but we had
and
a lot
based
of
on some true, true
yeah,
events
tr- based yeah. on some true mm-hmm. events, but it was an original screenplay.
Yeah.
I think now it just goes to show that that trend really is, you
yeah.
know, so much a part of the film and TV world now, that so many things get adapted that I think people just automatically assume, well, it's got to be based on a book.
Yeah, yeah. I think the library is also a great place for discovery for movies, because we have such a variety, so many different things available. You know, movie stores like Blockbuster. Some listeners might not even know what Blockbuster is. But they, you know, they don't really exist in our world anymore. But you get that kind of fun browsing discovery experience at the library.
That's true.
Kind of going off what Jen said, you know, it's nice to be able to find and like have that discovery option where you're able to physically hold that DVD in your hands and, you know, read the back like you do the blurb of a book to see if it's really something that you want to watch. For me, on our shelves, I really enjoy a lot of like the 80s and 90s throwback stuff that we have on the shelves, and it's kind of cool to see younger patrons kind of be exposed to those movies for the first time. So it's fun to help somebody find Speed with Keanu Reeves and Sandra Bullock, or, you know, that they can find Ghostbusters or Dirty Dancing, which I've seen so many times, or, you know, kind of those ones that, like, I know I really enjoyed as a kid, that you kind of see these other generations discovering them, or, you know, kind of people my same age, or, you know, kind of rediscovering our love for them by still watching it on DVD. I know Die Hard checks out crazy amounts still at the library. So, I don't know, I like that nostalgic feeling.
I have found it's fun to browse through the documentaries at the library because I feel like they're not things that I'm seeing as much in media and popular culture, but there's some really great programs. I just watched one about the Central Park Five that the library has, which they just did a Netflix series on that. I only watched the first episode on the Netflix series, but I saw that the library had this documentary, and it was fascinating to me to watch the documentary and to hear the real people talking in their own voices and, you know, to see the clips from that time period was excellent. You know, it was just a fun discovery, a good find. I find like I do, you know, even working in the library, we'll come across things that are like, ooh, look, this is cool.
And one thing I found, like, I used to be a movie fanatic, but then over the past few years or so, TV shows have gotten so good that I prefer getting into a TV show, you know, same as like with a book series, because you can enjoy it for longer. And so I found it interesting myself that I've realized I don't watch as many movies as I used to because I prefer to be able to get into something for longer. TV shows have just gotten better and better too.
I would agree. There are a lot of great series that are out there, whether you prefer comedy or drama or even, you know, science fiction. There are some really fun and different science fiction and fantasy series that are out there. So what are some of the favorites that you're binging right now, Sarah?
I've been rewatching Parks and Recreation.
I love Parks and Rec.
It's just feel good, fun. Yeah. And even, you know, there's some humor between the library and the Parks and Rec department. I just get a kick out of that as well.
Yeah. If you haven't watched Parks and Rec,
Amy Poehler, you can't go wrong with anything she's in.
No.
Yeah. It is kind of in that same spirit as The Office.
Yes.
The way that it's filmed and, one of my favorite comedies for sure.
Yes.
Yeah. And the library has all seasons of Parks and Rec too.
That's right.
I would say for me right now, I'm binging a lot of stuff. I've kind of gotten to the habit where, like, I'll read, like, more than one book at a time. So, like, now I've kind of found that I'm watching more than one TV show at a time.
And does it depend on your mood?
It kind of does. Like, if I feel like I had, like, a really stressful day, then I want something fun, like Parks and Rec, or, you know, something that I can just laugh the stress away. Kind of nice to be able to, like, watch that, or, you know, watch Friends, or, you know, something like that, where it's like it has that feeling of, like, okay, this is comfortable for me. But then I still love dark, twisted TV shows, so I've just started binge watching Handmaid's Tale, which I know has been really popular at the library. But also I really like The Americans. I mean, I, you know, like kind of the whole spy drama TV show, so I'm kind of into that right now. How about you, Jen?
I already mentioned that I'm really loving what Reese Witherspoon is doing with her book-to-film adaptations, and so I just recently binged Big Little Lies, which the library does have. It was a great short series, and very different from the book, but it really told a great story. You got involved with the characters emotionally, you cared about the outcome, and there was drama and such a modern twist to, I think, some of that storytelling. It was fun. I liked it.
Big Little Lies was interesting for me because I loved the first season of it. And I think maybe originally it was going to be a miniseries. And I thought it was an excellent miniseries. But then when they did season two, I enjoyed it. But it just wasn't as strong for me as the first season. And I almost think it might have been better off just remaining a miniseries. But
yeah,
that was my
sometimes.
Opinion, I guess.
You know, they got to bring in Meryl Streep as, you know, really a power actress.
Yeah, and she did an excellent job in that in that role too. But the story, just the plot, didn't seem as strong.
Yeah, I can appreciate
the first season.
I can appreciate that.
But I do kind of like that whole trend of, instead of just doing like a book to film, kind of the whole book to miniseries. Because for me, then I feel like they get to dive into more of like the context and like the meat of the book, where, you know, in a film, you're, you know, you got an hour and a half, 3 hours, you know, depending on how long the film is, you still know it's not going to cover each and every part that you want it to in a movie. So I think sometimes a miniseries is nice, and I kind of like that new trend that you kind of get to see more of the book in the TV show.
And Kelsey, did you say you've read Sharp Objects?
I did, yeah.
Have you seen the miniseries?
I have not.
Okay, I was just curious.
I'm not sure it's going to live up to it.
I know,
Like delaying it. And I'm like, I want to watch it.
Yeah.
But I'm also like terrified because I'm like, I don't want it to ruin
right
the book for me, or like, I don't know.
Yeah, I was curious to get your take on it because I didn't read the book. I only saw the miniseries on HBO, and it was so dark.
Yeah.
It's so
yeah, the
depressing.
Book's pretty dark.
I didn't know if the book was that quite like that, or if that was just how they portrayed it. But so yeah, I was just curious.
I mean, it's been on my list to watch because I really like Patricia Clarkson and I like Amy Adams, so it's like, I'm like, okay, like maybe I should just break down and watch it. So
yeah, well, and the ending was quite the shocker, so I was like, I had to rewatch it. I'm like, wait, what just happened? So I don't want to give anything away, but yeah, it's got quite the twist.
And I do feel like these series adaptations are giving great roles for women in film, like giving really meaty characters with substance and storytelling. And I think, maybe that's something that also appeals to me about these series because I enjoy that.
Yeah, I think that's why I liked Handmaid's Tale. The component of it is just that it's so centered on women being a woman. So yeah,
it seems like in general, there's a lot more, there's a lot of these strong women characters now, but there's a lot of, I don't know if it's a trend, but kind of this effort to really tell different stories than what's been told before. Black Panther was huge, that, hadn't really been a superhero movie like that before, or kind of these more indie type films that, they're bringing to the big screen. So people are getting exposed to kind of maybe these like off the wall type stories that they wouldn't have necessarily seen, the movies that make it to the film festivals or whatever.
Definitely more cultural diversity. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a long way to go with that. But again, that's another way of communication of ideas through film. And I think that that's an important place for us to be at, to continue to tell those stories.
Absolutely.
And to view those stories, because it does create empathy and awareness.
And like you had mentioned, the Central Park 5 documentary, and then I had watched When They See Us, the fictionalized miniseries of it. So what I thought was interesting was the director of When They See Us had said that initially she was thinking about doing it as a movie, but then she thought she wanted as many people to see it as possible because it was such an important a show for her to make. And so she decided to go with Netflix. So I just thought that was really interesting, that for a director to choose Netflix over a traditional movie theater, and how viewing has changed so greatly that people, instead of sitting in a movie theater, would rather watch things from home. It's just
and in
an
watching
interesting
that,
shift.
I watched the first episode because you had recommended that.
Yeah.
And I was so angry.
Oh, yes.
It did create an awareness of something that I hadn't heard about, that I didn't know about.
I had such an emotional reaction to it. And my husband and I watched it together. And, after each episode that we watched, we would end up, talking about it for an hour, just trying to, just dissecting it. Just, I don't know, it is such an emotional reaction that you get from it, and it affected me deeply, and it's still something that I just wish I could do something about. It just really bothered me. So yeah, not too many shows do that to me, but that one definitely
did. Powerful storytelling.
Yes And acting was incredible too.
So if you're thinking about movies, you're thinking about what's the next series that you're interested in binging, I would just encourage people, don't forget that the library offers so many options. We have the best of HBO, the best of Showtime. We try to get as many of the Netflix and Amazon series that we can get on DVD for checkout. And it's free to check these out from the Sioux City Public Library. And for most libraries, offer free checkouts of a lot of their media. So definitely think about us when you're thinking about what you want to binge next, because we have probably most of what you're wanting to find.
Yeah, and if there's something that you're not seeing on the shelf or in our catalog, we welcome suggestions as well. We want to build that collection. We also have a Lucky Day collection that if you happen to come into one of our branches and you happen to come across one of these popular TV shows or movies, it's your lucky day because these titles cannot be put on hold, so they're readily available for checkout.
I think of it kind of as like the red box of the library. Like it's the newest things that we have out, except you don't have to pay for them.
Yes.
But you get them for 3 days at the Sioux City Public Library, and which is longer than you get them from another.
And it's still free.
Yeah. And it's still free.
It's a good way to know what's popular or, you know, what the hot movies and TV shows are, because we just try and offer the best stuff in our Lucky Day collection.
And we don't have to wait. The library can get these movies and things on release day. Mm-hmm. We don't have to wait a month or 2 months or however long other retailers have to wait to make these available to rent. You can borrow them from the library, you know, as soon as they come out.
That's right.
And if you're looking for recommendations, you know, whether it's books, movies, TV shows, you know, our staff at our service desks at any of our branches, that's what they're there for. We're happy to talk books and movies and TV shows with you. We want you to be able to find something that you want to watch, that you want to read, and then that keeps you coming back into the library. And again, not to, you know, really reiterate this more, but it's free. You get to watch something. And, you know, if you don't like it, you can return it. You didn't buy it. You know, that's like you can get something else. So I think that, you know, is always a really big thing. And, you know, you don't have to pay for all these subscriptions to different streaming services, you know, or pay to rent it or anything like that. I mean, yes, it's a DVD, but still, you know, like you're able to watch it.
And it is kind of a fun experience to come to the library and browse the shelves and see what we have.
So big thank you to Sarah, our operations manager, for letting us pick her brain as far as her expertise on viewers advisory.
Well, thanks for letting me come. It's been fun.
Hopefully we didn't badger you too bad.
Oh, no, not at all.
Yes, thank you, Sarah, for being our guest today and sharing your love of film and your love of TV series. It's been fun.
This is Kelsey.
This is Shen.
This is Sarah.
Thank you for listening to the first 50 pages.